T-I-D-I-N-G-S. As soon as I see Brother Ron come in the door, I'll go and sit down. 46.
Glad, T-I-D-I-N-G-S, I-B-R-I-N-D, that J-E-S-U-S has come to S-A-B-E-D, and he calls and he calls all the T-I-R-L-S, and he wants all the B-O-I-S to
for everyone to keep up the tempo that way. And a choice from one of the boys, please. 44, into the tent where a gypsy boy lay.
Into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, lying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried there. No.
Number 40. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. We'll sing the first and the last stanzas of number 40.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible.
Number 41, the first two stanzas.
Around the throne of God in heaven.
Let's sing number 16. That'll be our last song for this morning. Number 16.
Whosoever cares,
sing this morning. Sounded good. Now let's put our songbooks on the floor under your chair. It seems like questions are a part of our lives. Questions. And especially when you think about coming to a conference like this, there are lots of questions that come up. Some are bigger than others. Some questions are bigger than others. But there are many questions that come up. We've had a lot of questions on our trip. Somebody asked, well, when are you going? Well, we were able to answer that question. We decided we'd try to leave sometime around 7 o'clock from Des Moines. And then the question of who's going with you? That was a question. And we found out the answer to that, too. And then we got driving along and somebody said, don't you think we need to get gas? It's getting awful close to empty. Well, that was a good question. And we were able to answer that one. And then we got hungry and we thought, well, now when are we going to eat? You know, sometimes that question gets asked. When are you going to eat? When are we going to eat? Well, we found an answer to that question. And then the question came up, where are we going to eat? Well, we found out that eating in the car is not too desirable, at least with our family, because we seem to find things work better if we do our eating on a park bench or something like that. It just seems to work better for us. So where are we going to eat? Well, we found an answer to that. We found a nice little park that somebody told us about. And then when we started to eat, the question was, do you want peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or would you like to have lunch meat? That was the question that came up. And that got a good answer, too. And somebody said, would you want water or punch? Got some Kool-Aid, and so, well, we answered that question. Would you like some potato chips? Yeah, well, we found an answer to that question. And so on. Would you like another sandwich? Sure. Well, what kind do you want this time? Well, I had lunch meat the first one, and I think I'd like to have peanut butter and jelly the next one. So we had lots of questions, and we found good answers to them. And then we came on to the conference. There are lots of questions that are asked, you know. Some people say, I wonder if she's going to be there. And some people say, I wonder if he's going to be there. And all kinds of good questions. I'm so glad that these questions get asked, because there are good answers to them. And there are some people that don't even know how to inquire. They don't even know how to ask a question. And I'm awful sorry whenever I find anybody that doesn't know how to ask a question, because he never gets the answer if he doesn't know how to ask a question. So lots of questions, and some of them are big and some of them are little, and some of them are bigger than others. In fact, I had quite a question asked me this morning. Oh, aside from the other questions that get asked in the room, you know, like, where are my socks? That was a question, too. Where's my hat? Why don't you have on your Sunday clothes? Lots of questions like that get asked. But there was a real important question that got asked of me this morning. My dear wife said, there doesn't seem to be very many people here in this dormitory. She says, are you sure that the meeting was at 9:30? Well, I said, yes, sure am. Well, she said, you know, there doesn't seem to be very many people around here. And I got out my card from my pocket and I looked at it. Ah, oh, starts at 9:15. And here it was already 9:20. That was quite a question, important question, wasn't it? And I just feel real sorry that was my fault that I was late. Nobody else's but mine. I just made a mistake. In fact, that embarrasses me. In fact, I was even late to my own wedding. Can you imagine that? I you know, that always has embarrassed me. And I've been thinking about that for 19 years. And I never feel any better about it after 19 years. I always feel bad about it. But we got married all right. Thanks to the Lord. And I got to Sunday school all right. But the question of eternity, you know, wouldn't it be an awful thing if you found out that you were too late about accepting the Lord Jesus? There won't be any second opportunities there. You might be late to your wedding, and you might be late to Sunday school, and things might go on pretty well after all. But if you're late for accepting the Lord Jesus, there'll be no second chance, boys. You know, that makes me feel bad to talk to you about it. You boys here in this front row, if you're too late accepting the Lord Jesus, there won't be any more chance. And you girls, if you're too late accepting the Lord Jesus, you won't have another chance. You won't have another chance forever and forever and forever. I would like to ask you to turn in your Bible to Matthew 27. And I would like to talk about something that we find in Matthew 27. There are two big questions asked in Matthew 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Have you all got it? That's easy to find, isn't it? Matthew 27 and verse 22. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's a big question. That's a big question. I have something to show you before we talk about that question. I will unfold it here. What do you think this is? It's a piece of paper all folded up. Now let's just unfold it here together. Whoever folded this up
Did a real good job of folding.
Wonder if anybody has any ideas what we're going to see when I get this unfolded. Anybody see what this might be when we get it unfolded? I had to fold it up so I could get it in my pocket. Now, if I can hold it up for you to see, what do you think that is? What would you say that looks like most? A question mark. Would you say that that looks fairly close to being a question mark? Now, because you might not all be able to see that, if you'll just excuse me just about half a minute, I'm going to put it on the wall. That's a big question, isn't it? Did you ever see a question as big as that? That's a big question. A big question. Now, here's a big question. Matthew chapter 27. Look what it says. What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? You know, that's a big question, too. In fact, boys and girls, that's the biggest question that you're ever going to be faced with. What shall I do with Jesus? One hundred years from this morning, it's going to make a lot of difference how you answered that question. And every boy and girl in this room has to answer that question. What shall I do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? What have you already done with Jesus? And there's nobody that can say, I don't have to answer that question. Because you do have to answer that question. What would you like to do with Jesus? There was a man in this chapter whose name was Pilate. The man who asked this question did the wrong thing with Jesus. He did the wrong thing with Jesus, and he's sorry this morning about what he did. He refused the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And he's sorry this morning that he ever made a decision like that. What shall I do with Jesus? You've got to answer that question. Yes, you do. You've got to answer that question. What shall I do with Jesus? You know, I'm so glad that some years ago I answered that question. And you know what I said? Down in my heart I said, I'm going to accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. That's what I said. And I've never been sorry. Never been sorry. What shall I do with Jesus? Accept him as my Savior. That's what I did. And I know a lot of people in this room that accepted the Lord Jesus. And when that question came to their souls, they said, I want the Lord Jesus for my Savior. And they're not sorry. And I know a lot of these people in this room, and they come from all different walks of life. I know a man that's a farmer, and he plants corn, and he raises pigs. And he's a happy man because he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. When that question came up, what shall I do with Jesus? He said, I'm going to accept him as my Savior. And that man lives on a farm, and he's happy. Oh, he's so glad he accepted Jesus as his Savior. I know another lady that's a school teacher. And that question came up in her life, what shall I do with Jesus? And she said, I'm going to accept him as my Savior. And she's so glad she did. She's a school teacher. Now I know a man that works in a factory and works on tractors and lawnmowers. And that question came up in that man's life, what shall I do with Jesus? And he said, I'm going to accept him as my Savior. And he's so glad he did. I know a man that works in a carbon paper factory, and the question came up, what shall I do with Jesus? And that man said, I'm going to receive him as my Savior. And he's so glad he did. I even know a man that's a dentist, and he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Everybody that accepts the Lord Jesus as their Savior is so glad they did. So glad they did. Now, what shall I do with Jesus? That's a big question, isn't it? That's a big question. Oh, that every boy in this room, oh, that every girl in this room, in front of that question will say, what shall I do with Jesus? I'm going to accept him as my Savior. I'm going to accept him as my Lord. I'm going to obey what he said. I'm going to surrender to him. You know, it doesn't say, what shall he do with Jesus? Or what shall she do? But it's, what shall I do with Jesus? I would like to ask you all to repeat out loud with me this question. Now, when I say it, I'll say it first. And I want every boy and every girl to say after me the second time. Let me say it first. And then you say after me these words out loud so that we can hear what you say. What shall I do with Jesus? Now let's all say it together. What shall I do with Jesus? What are you going to do? Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Now there's another big question in this chapter. It's even a bigger question than we've just talked about. Maybe it seems strange to you that there is a bigger question in the Bible, but there is. In this same chapter, there's even a bigger question than the one we've been talking about. It's in verse 46. I suppose there is no bigger question has ever been asked or shall ever be asked than this question. Verse 46 of Matthew 27. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There is no bigger question that has ever been asked in the entire history of the universe. Here the Lord Jesus Christ, the very eternal Son of God, was hanging on a cross in the dark, in the night season, in the dark. He was bearing the load of sins for every believer of all history. The weight of those sins were upon his holy, spotless head. And those words ascend to heaven. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was no answer to that question. The heavens were silent. No answer to that question. Just as if God Himself could not express an answer to that question. Boys and girls, I can't answer that question adequately for you this morning. If God didn't answer it, how can I answer it? But I do know this much, that that question involves me, a sinner. That question involves the holiness of God. That question involves my eternal blessing and yours. I know that much. And maybe it'll have to be when we all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ get to heaven. And maybe when we see the glory of the Lord Jesus. Maybe when we realize a little bit better what He has done for us on the cross. Maybe when we look around and see all of those people, boys, girls, men and women, all redeemed and happy in the presence and glory of the Lord Jesus. Maybe we'll have a little bit better answer to the question, why? When we see what it has accomplished. Maybe we'll understand it a little better. Oh, what a question. We don't know how to explain it. But this much I know, that it was for me and it was for you. Ah, that question was asked so that you and that I might be saved. Oh, but there's more to it than that. So much I cannot explain. Why hast thou forsaken me? I would just like to say, for the benefit of those Christian young people in this room who are disciples, in the sense of liking to look up things in the Bible, because you see, every Christian is not a disciple, that is, he doesn't want to learn much, but there are some that want to learn something. Well, I would just like to point out to you something for you to consider. We have in this verse the Hebrew translation of these most wonderful words. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And then it goes on to say, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's just as though, dear friends, it's just as though God felt those words so precious as they were uttered by the lips of the Lord Jesus that He never wanted them to be changed. And through every translation of the Word of God, those words come down and they must be preserved intact. And those who translate must give them in their original form. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And then we get the translation. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, how unspeakably solemn and precious were those words, so much so that God has forever preserved them intact as they were spoken in His holy word. In the first chapter of Matthew, we have a similar thing, where we have the name of the Lord Jesus. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Oh, that word is so precious that God wants us to hear it in the very language in which it was given. Well, look up at your leisure the many times in the Word of God that such a thing occurs, and it'll bless you and bless you and bless you. There are two questions we have spoken about. One of them we cannot fully answer. We'll never realize completely how great the work of the Lord Jesus was on the cross. Like the lines of that little song put it so well, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep was the river crossed, nor how dark was the night, that the shepherd passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. Never knew. So we'll never know exactly the full answer to that question. Although as we stand together in the presence of that big question, we bow our hearts and we worship our God and Father for what He has done in sending to us the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a question. But there is a question, a big question that you can answer. What shall I do with Jesus? You can answer that question. Receive Him as your personal Savior, and He'll save you forever and make you happy both now and through all eternity. What shall I do with Jesus? Accept Him. Say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want You to be my Savior. I'm a sinner. Lord, save me. What shall I do with Jesus?